Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. And today, our amazing author, her name is Lori Chavez Wysocki. Yes. And Lori is a popular mentor, educator, and sought-after motivational speaker. She is also the district manager at Jack in the Box, and she has earned the coveted Circle of Excellence Award for Jack in the Box restaurants 6 times. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you here, and we are going to be talking about her book today, and her book is called Don't Stay Stuck. Eliminate your excuses and gain the confidence to achieve your dreams. I love the title, Don't Stay Stuck.
Thank you.
Which is awesome because it assumes that we get stuck. So there's no judgment
Absolutely.
Around that. It's about not staying stuck.
Exactly.
So, Lori, what was the inspiration behind writing your book? When did that idea come into your head that, like, man, I really need to write a book?
Actually, the idea came into my head about 2009 after I was talking to some employees, and they were like, you know, you're always helping us. You should write a book. And I was like, okay. You know, I just let it go. And then, you know, in 2015, October, I was conducting a training class for some employees, and some of the young ladies in the class were just really telling me how, you know, they couldn't get ahead and, you know, they're single moms and, you know, all the gloom and doom of life. And I looked at them and it just pumped me up. I looked at them and I said, do you guys realize that the things you're saying, I've been there. I've been the teen mom, the high school dropout, you know, single divorced mom. I mean, I've been a lot of things, you know, those things don't define you. And then when I just looked at their eyes and like, they couldn't believe it. You know, I share my story, but I don't really share it a lot. And when I looked at them and I said, do you realize that I was also in foster care? And they were like, their jaws dropped. Like, it seemed to them like, really, you're like in this position that you're in and you've gone through all this stuff. Yes. And you don't even know half of it. So I was just like so motivated. I left Yuma, Arizona, driving back to California where I live. And I was like, this is not going to happen. I have to do something. I cannot let these people keep going on thinking that whatever happened to them in their past defines their future. It doesn't. And I came home, got on self-publishing school website, clicked, you know, the enroll me now. And it started October 15th of 2015. So that's basically the push that I had was for those young ladies.
Wow, that's incredible. I got the goosebumps as you were talking about it. And so you got your book done really quickly then, because if it started in October and you were done, you were published June 15th, 2016. So that was a fairly quick turnaround.
And, you know, and there was some little bit of things that happened in between there. But actually, I started October 15th and, you know, Christmas, the holidays. And then there was a tragedy with one of my best friends. I stayed with her for a little bit. But actually, so in January is when I really said, okay, I got to get this done. And it was self-published in March. So it took about, I'd say, good 4 months. 4 months driving it every day.
Congratulations. That's such an accomplishment, you know, and there's so many people who are like, yeah, I'm going to write a book one day. and so few that actually do it. And so congratulations for putting in the time and doing the work. What was your, besides obviously wanting to help to help people with your story, what else did you anticipate that the book was going to do for you personally as an author, or for your business, or what was your, so I call it the selfish motivation, and I put quotes around selfish because I think as authors, very often we're thinking so much about the reader that we sometimes don't plan on how this book is going to support our success and our positioning and stuff like that. So I always like to ask people, what was this book going to do for you? Or did you have a clear sense of that when you started?
Well, I'm going to be totally honest with you. And I didn't go, oh, I'm going to become, you know, the best-selling author. Or I'm going to become what, you know, these things. I really didn't have that in mind. I just thought, mm-hmm. you know, if I can share my story with a few more people than I, over the last 30 years at Jack in the Box, I've been fortunate to share it here and there. And I know it's helped, but I thought if I could just help a few more people, because I just, for some reason, it's in my nature to help. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't really think or expect was the cleansing that this book did for me. I mean, mm-hmm. I am surprised that my husband didn't think something else. I wept for like a good 2 weeks because I had stuffed the memory of the accident that happened in Big Bear Lake. We were on a family vacation. I was 2.5 years old. My father goes to swim. My mom doesn't know how to swim. I'm 2.5 years old. My father goes to swim, and all of a sudden I'm hearing both of them screaming. He's screaming, I'm assuming, help. And my mother's, you know, everybody's frantic in the boat, and it was just very traumatic. Father ended up drowning. And so that just replayed in my mind over and over again for many, many years. I stuffed it inside. You know, it would be really hard to go to the beach or go swimming and all this stuff, but I stuffed it inside so many years. And when I wrote this book and was having to relive that situation, that event, mm-hmm. I didn't realize how deep I had stuffed it in. And so it really was a cleansing for me and a weight lifted off, if you know what I mean. It was like, it was really weird. I called my aunt and she's like, yeah, let it all come out. So it was, I didn't expect that, but now I know why people say, oh, it's great to journal. Yes. Get it all out. Get it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations for continuing on with it. Some authors I know will get scared when that kind of stuff comes up and they're like, hey, wait, this isn't what I signed up for. And then they'll stop. So congratulations for working through that and letting that be part of your process. I think that there's a lot of healing that can happen as you write a book and a lot of processing, because it kind of forces you to. You're like, if you're going to write about it, you have to kind of, you have to know what you think about it. And sometimes that means reliving part of it or processing through some of the stuff that you know, you've been too busy or you just haven't really noticed was there.
Yeah. So it was very, that was a win for me. And then to top it all off, because I'm just being brutally honest, to top it all
off.
Yeah,
I love it. Thank
you. Know, the relationship that my mom and I have had has been, you know, it's been a work in progress. But the one thing that I got was Lori. She was in the boat too. She was in the boat too. And to imagine, you know, losing your husband, right, and not knowing how to swim and being in the middle of the lake. I mean, she was in the boat too. So it just really was a real healing process. And I just want people to know that, hey, you know, whatever happens, you know, you can overcome it, right? You can overcome it, and you don't have to be shackled by your past, you know.
I love that. And is that the main thing that you're hoping the readers will walk away from the book really getting?
I want people to know, and I say this a lot, I want people to know that you can bloom where you're planted. It does not matter what has happened. You think you're stuck, you're in an entry-level job, you're whatever the case may be, you can find some great things there and run with those great things and bloom where you're planted so that you're so big that you need to be transplanted, you know? You can.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So, I love it. So what was the best response that you got from anyone as an author? Like, once your book is done and it's out there, what was the response from someone who read it that really touched you deeply and made you feel like, wow, I accomplished that, what I set out to do, that I touched a few more people with my story? Is there any specific...
I can think of a few of them, but one of the employees, she decided that she was going to take action, because we're only limited by the amount of action we're willing to take. And she decided to take action and go for being a makeup artist, right? And so she's actually getting ready to be enrolled in the Paul Mitchell School. And so I'm very excited for her that she's taking action. Another one of the girls went back and got her GED. And since that time in October of 2015, has since been promoted to assistant manager. So her life and her son's life have changed as a result of that action. So there's many more, but those are just a couple that I can tell you that I'm really like, wow, I'm so glad that I did this. It wasn't easy, but I'm so glad that I did it.
Oh, that's got to be so rewarding. So happy for you that you're able to see so clearly the ways that your book is influencing and supporting the lives of others in such a positive way. So if you were going to give us like another tip or takeaway, because you gave us a really solid one. If you were to give us another tip or takeaway from your book, what would that be? What would you feel like you'd like to share? A point, a story, something from the book with us, your listeners here today.
Well, you know, my life changed when I was handed a book. It was a book by C.S. Lewis. When I read that book, it changed everything, because as a leader, I was a young leader at Jack in the Box, and I was working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. And I was handed this book, and I said, wait a minute, you know, you can get ideas from a book, and then you can implement them, and then your life can slowly change. And I became an avid reader. And then I got into the John Maxwell series, and I was like, going from working 60 to 70 hours a week, I was going to normal hours and finding that I was able to develop people, because when you develop others, you develop your organization, you grow your organization. We grow people and then we grow our organization. And so I love reading. And if you can imagine, I tell people, you know, when I'm doing conferences and stuff, you know, if you can imagine blowing up a balloon, that's what happens when you read. You expand. In your mind, when you take the air out of the balloon, when you let it out, your mind will never be the same. And so I love reading. I love books. And so reading, you know, I know your listeners, they're avid they're readers. But if we could spread the message, reading is like having a mentor in the box.
That's right.
In a book.
That's right. And it's incredible the education that you can get from books, even if you don't have opportunities for traditional education, or that's a challenge. If you know how to read, you can educate yourself pretty well. I mean, at least to a point where you can then take off in another direction.
Absolutely.
Well, you are speaking to the choir, singing to the choir here, because I absolutely love to read. I read all the time for work, because I work with authors and their books. But in addition to that, I probably read about 40 books a year. So I'm an avid reader, and I am looking forward to reading your book. And as I want to just plug her book again for all of our listeners, the title of it is Don't Stay Stuck, Eliminate Your Excuses, and Gain the Confidence to Achieve Your Dreams. You want to get her book, ladies and gentlemen. It is available on Amazon in Kindle and paperback. And Lori, tell us a little bit more about how our readers can contact you personally or in business. Like, what can you offer?
Well, my email address is Lori, LORIC, like cat, Wysocki, WYSOCKI, @gmail.com. You can go to my website, LoriChavezWysocki.com, Also, I have don'tstaystuckbook.com, and there you'll get my free chapter of what I call my number one tip, and that is finding a mentor or a coach. And if you can't find a mentor or a coach, you can go to the library and get a book, and that'll be your mentor or coach. There's a lot of great reads out there. So those are a couple of the ways to reach me, is either on the website, LoriChavezWysocki.com, go to don'tstaystuckbook.com, or LoriCWysocki@gmail.com.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. So I'm very curious also, because I work with authors on a regular basis. I'd love to talk about the process for you in terms of getting your book published. So you talked about self-publishing school. Can you tell us a little bit about the kind of support that you got through the process? And I'm really curious to know, like, what surprised you? Like, what did you not know you didn't know that you were so happy to have support in?
Well, you know, this is funny that you asked that question. In 2009, I thought, oh, I'm going to write this book. But, you know, you start writing and you think that you need to start from page one. And in the school,
right.
I learned, you know, start with a mind map of what you think it's going to be. Originally, I thought my book was going to be multiple income streams for women to help these young girls, you know, have a little bit more cash flow so they can invest in themselves. But so you mind map, and then you color code with post-it notes the different, like, bubbles, right, the different circles of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can build your chapters from there. And the good thing about using post-it notes is you can move them all around your board. And it was just like, oh, I wish I would have known this in 2009. Because, you know, I have attempted before to write. It just got like, I didn't have a system. And this system really works, you know. And the system of mind mapping, color coding your different chapters, and then building your paragraphs and just moving things around of how it flows was a gem.
That is so cool. Well, you like to read and you love post-it notes. I think you're going to be my new best friend, because those are like two of my favorite things. I buy post-it notes at Costco. I am not kidding you. That's such a great tip too, because people really do think you have to start from the beginning, and it's really, you're going to have so much better success as an author if you can plan your book from the big picture, and then you can silo down into specific topics and really dig deep on that, knowing that
exactly.
You've got a big picture and you've got an overview. I love that.
And then you have it all color coded, and it just makes it so, it's like a puzzle. It makes it so easy to have on your wall how you're going to, you know, put things and how it flows. And then of course, once
mm-hmm.
you get an editor to help you. It's just, that's, you know, key. So that, I was just in shock. That I was like, oh, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, it was, because you have to write, obviously, but the whole getting it started, the system is just a great system.
Right, yeah. So what was the hardest part of getting your book finished, and what was the most fun and the easiest part?
So the hardest part for me was, I'm not a techie person. I'm not really, I mean, I can do certain things, but I'm not super, you know. So I sent it off to get formatted for Kindle, and I got it back, and you upload it, and you kind of look through a few pages. I didn't realize I probably should have looked through every single page. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It was a disaster in the sense that I only looked through the first few pages, and it looked great. Go through the whole entire thing, because it cut off like sentences and started new sentences. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I clicked send, you know, publish. And I really felt bad because, you know, I had gone to my CEO and asked him if he, originally I was going to ask for a blurb, but that's a whole different story how he ended up doing the foreword. But I was like, oh my gosh, what a disappointment. And I kind of got down on myself. But looking back, I gained so much knowledge from that I now, even when I went to Audible, because now it's on Audible, I really do due diligence when you're publishing and you're putting stuff out there. Go through the whole thing, even if it looks good in the first few chapters or whatever, go through the entire thing and make sure it represents you well. And so I could say that's probably the most difficult
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And such a good tip, too.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to technology. Like, you really want to do your due diligence there. You want to make sure. Because your book is a representation of you. And
exactly.
If it's not how you want it to be, that's going to be really painful personally. Because
it's
going to reflect you in a way you don't want to be reflected, right?
It was very painful. But if others can learn from my mistake, that's great. That's kind of like, you know, my whole life story has been is all the adversities, we can all learn from them. So, yeah, that was a tough one. The funnest part was the cover, you know, getting people to participate and vote on the cover and the different colors. And it was a great process, a great time. I have a friend of mine has a coworker who really works really well on developing stories and stuff. And he came over and interviewed me, and he's like, "Your life is like you're not staying stuck. You know, it's like a shoe. And since I love shoes, you know." And so he came up with a whole process. His name is Randy Reese. He came up with a whole process of the shoe coming off the gum, you know, not staying stuck. So it was really cool, the whole illustration part.
It's a really great concept. I was looking at it last night, and of course I do a lot of covers, and I was impressed by the concept with the gum on the shoe on the heel.
Yeah,
it looks really amazing.
We had a lot of fun.
So here's a question that I wanted to ask you. You mentioned it because you mentioned that you got the CEO to write the foreword. The CEO of your company, Jack in the Box. I also noticed that you have an endorsement from the vice president of Starbucks. And I would just like to know, how did you approach getting these? I work with authors, and I'm telling you, when it comes time to ask people to endorse your book and to endorse your work, it can be very scary. And it can feel very overwhelming. And I'm wondering what was your experience around getting, you know, making those requests and then getting those endorsements and the forward.
Well, you know, the in self-publishing school, I had a coach, and we're talking about, you know, my job and all this stuff. And he's like, you should ask your CEO if he'll do the forward. And I said, well, that's kind of like asking a lot. What if I just ask him to do the blurb? And he's like, okay. Whatever you feel comfortable with. And so I called the office and corporate office, and I scheduled an appointment with the CEO. And it took about, you know, a few, 4 or 5 weeks to get on his calendar. And I live 2 hours away from the corporate office. So I'm like really nervous. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot even believe I'm going to do this. And I usually listen to an Audible book or something, and I just put the car, just everything on silence. And I just meditated and prayed the whole way up there. And I was like, I got halfway there, and something said, ask him to do the foreword. Don't ask for the blurb. Ask him to do the foreword. And I was like, really? I mean, it just kind of like was weird, right? And I was so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the office, and I asked. And so I got to the office, and I was escorted back to his office. And I asked him. I said, you know, I know there are so many people in this company that are so successful. I'm just one of many. And, you know, this is a project I've been working on. And yeah, I was just wondering if you would be willing, and I understand, I understand if you can't, because I understand, you know, putting your name on somebody's work, right? That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I understand, and there may be some legal implications that, you know, the board of directors wouldn't allow you to do that, right? And so I totally understand, but I was wondering if you would do me the honor of writing the foreword to my book. And my jaw dropped when he said yes. I was like, it was so hard. I mean, I was nervous, and it was scary, but, you know, he said, yes, you know, he had to get it approved and stuff, of course. And it had to be a certain way and everything. And so, yes, he said yes. And I'm just delighted because I have been at Jack in the Box my adult life, my whole adult life. And I have watched so many people, you know, rise to different occasions and, you know, so many successful people, and I didn't want to, like, you know, endorse me because, you know, I'm the one and only. You know, there's so many people who've gone on to be franchisees and other things, and so I was really delighted. And then You know, if you're an excellent employee, if you really are excellent and you're ethical and you have really good work value, you know, you can ask others to help you because, you know, you can do that. And so I asked Camille, who at one time worked at Jack in the Box. I emailed her and told her what I was doing. And same thing, I understand because, you know, you're talking big name, you're talking, you know, big companies, you know, Jack in the Box, Starbucks, you know what I mean? And so I understood,
right.
You know.
Camille, we'll just say Camille is the vice president of Starbucks. So we'll just put that
in
the context of the company. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I said, you know, I understand, but this is what I'm working on. And she said, I would be delighted to do that for you. And so it was really exciting for me. And just so that you know, just so the audience also knows, you know, Dr. Paul Pai heard me give a speech at an event. And after the event, he's an educator. He was the president of the college. He was so, I guess, with lack of a better word, he was really happy with what I was talking about, that we went on and did some work together. And I actually taught some classes at the college and for him. And we just stayed in touch, you know, we stayed in touch. And I also asked him, I said, you know, I'm working on this project. You know, I sent him the manuscript and he was just like, oh yeah, this is really good stuff. Cause I'm really talking about, you know, educating yourself. You know, I'm a high school dropout. You know, I didn't do things the traditional way. And so he was, you know, you never know who you're going to meet, I guess is what I'm saying. And who you're going to impact. And you just never know. And you just have to get rid of the fear. You know, it's not easy, but you just have to push through it, you know, push until success happens.
Right.
I heard that somewhere.
That's right. That's right. And I always tell authors, I'm like, listen, asking for endorsements or asking for someone to write the foreword for your book, I'm like, this is the first opportunity that you have to promote your book. I'm like, and as an author, you're going to be doing a lot of promoting. And so this is good practice. And it is also going to be the hardest thing because it's the first time you're doing it. And, you know, it's great when you can do it and you have support of others. But how did you feel afterwards? Like when you got all of these yeses, did you get a whole lot of no's as well? Or did you get primarily yeses?
I primarily, you know, got yeses. And I felt, for lack of better terms, I felt like a rock star. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're, you know, because, you know, as you read my story, you're going to see there was lots of roadblocks in my life. And so this is like incredible. But I also, you know, if I could say this, you know, I may have had difficulties with my mother and stuff, but my mother is a workhorse. My mother has work ethic beyond measure. And those are the values that she's instilled in me. So when mm-hmm. I'm on the job, I'm on the job. And so that speaks volumes of itself when you're asking others in your organization, if you are, to do these things, you know, for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lori, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, it has just been fantastic. And thanks. I love the conversation around the endorsements because it's such an important piece for people. And it can be so scary. So thank you so much for being so honest and being so open and telling us all of these things. We really appreciate you being on this show.
Thank you so much.
So,
I am honored.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much. And so that's our show today. Thank you to all of our listeners for being on the show and just letting you know that we will be back again. We are here every Monday and Friday at 9 a.m. And our leading lady for Friday, March 10th, is going to be Maria Keckler, president of Superb Communication, and she is going to be talking about the San Diego Women of Influence Awards. So you won't want to miss that. I am Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Thank you for listening, and please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.